Bring your sacrifice. As I've said last week, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago that the Willowdean Church of Christ asked me to present a lesson on the subject of bringing your sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is defined as that which is offered or given. Sacrifice. It is further defined as the act, note this, the act of killing and offering. Sacrifice. It is also along the same line defined as to kill and offer in sacrifice. That is to kill a victim and to offer that victim. And that is the idea in the word sacrifice. But note this. Sacrifice or offering to God must cost us something. It is not sacrifice if it is not felt by the giver. I'm tempted to run over this passage because so many of us know it. But then, if there's one person in the audience who do not know it, it would have worked our time to go to it. So let me repeat. I'm just listing some things that must be understood about sacrifice. Sacrifice to God must cost us something. Look at the passage of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 23 and 24. Let us hear it.
All these things did Araunah as a king, give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king.
Now here are two people. Araunah was not, from all indication, a Gentile, an Israelite. But the place, remember, when we discussed 2 or so weeks ago, that the very place that God had told Abraham to offer Isaac is the very place which some 400 years after David captured from this people to whom Araunah belonged and name it Mount Zion. It's the very place that God had commanded David to go and offer the sacrifice when David sinned. It is the very place that the temple of Solomon was built. It is the very place that Jesus Christ was crucified. So here we are at that place. God had directed David to go and sacrifice. And he met the leader of that surrounding. The leader recognized who David was, understood why David was there. And after David, the animal for the sacrifice, the place for the sacrifice, the instrument for the sacrifice, everything he gave David free. Continue reading, brother.
All these things did Araunah as king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah,
David now respond to him.
Nay.
Remember what we are talking about, that sacrifice must, any offering or sacrifice to God. Wait. Will I be able? I've shown some of it last week. When we talk about sacrifice and offering, we are not necessarily talking about money. It's the moment you talk about offering and sacrifice. While that is included, there, as we have shown, that the very praise we give to God is caused sacrifice by God's word. Are we all there? But we will get more to that. Now, you were at 2 Samuel 24, and you are about verse 24 now, where David is responding to the man who gave him everything free. Huh? Let us hear it.
Nay. Mm-hmm. But I will surely buy it off.
What David said to him?
Surely buy it off.
No, he first said no. Huh? Huh?
Yes.
When he said nay, what David is saying, you gave me all these things for the sacrifice free. David said no. In effect, that's not how you sacrifice to God. Listen further. He said,
but I will surely buy it off
you. I will surely buy it from you.
At a price.
At a price.
Neither will I...
Wait. That's the nice part, brother. Brother, that's not nice. Well, if we understand what serving God is all about, we realize that is enlightening. Neither will I... Read the brother, we have stopped for.
Offer burnt offering.
Will I offer burnt offering?
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord of that which.
Of that which doth
me.
Nothing.
Nothing. Our sacrifice and offering to God must cost us something. Are we out here? It must. Or else it will not be accepted to God. Christian, let us learn that and learn that well. Please don't try to give God cheap service. Huh? Don't try to shortchange God. Huh? It must cost us something. Look what it cost Jesus Christ to bring us salvation. His life. You talk about sacrifice? There you have sacrifice. Jesus Christ at Calvary. Wait. Not only must our sacrifice and our offering cost us something, our sacrifices and our offering must not be our leftovers. It must not be our riffraff. Are we all there? It must be premium and precious. Have you ever noticed when the Almighty God asked Abraham to give something? Are we all there? You are there with me? The Almighty God did not ask Abraham to give one of his slaves. Yes, Abraham had a lot of slaves. But God did not ask for one of the slaves. Abraham had a lot of sheep and calves. God did not ask for Abraham's sheep and Abraham's calves. The Almighty God asked Abraham for that which was the most precious, the most costly thing in Abraham's life. God asked Abraham for Isaac. Are we all there? What is the point, Brother Mitchell? We must not give God our leftover. Many of us, we tired ourselves out on Friday, Saturday. And then when Sunday morning comes, we can't come to church because we want to sleep. And even if we come to worship God, we sleep through the whole service. Brother Mitchell, where you quarrel for me for? Sorry, I'm not quarreling. Sorry. That's right. We must not give God the leftover because He's not going to accept it. We must give God that which is precious, our offering, our sacrifice. But here is something else to keep in mind. Whatever we bring, are we all there? Whatever we give to God, whatever we do for God, it must be Brother Michelle, start again. Thank you for asking. Whatever we give, whatever we bring, whatever we do for God, it must be in keeping with God's what? Are we out there? With God's how and with God's why. I mean, whatever. Whatever we give, bring, or do for God, it is imperative that it be in keeping or concur with what God asks for. With how He asks that it be given, and with why you do it. Mr. Mitchell, give me a few examples now. I'll give you one or two. Cain gave an offering. Like his brother Abel. But God rejected Cain's offering because it was not in keeping with God's want. Are we all there? The Almighty God in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13 and verse 12, well, rather, he killed the guy somewhere up in verse 9, 10, or 11. I'm talking about Uzziah. But in verse 12, David said, we are in the book of 1 Chronicles, David said, the Bible said, David was afraid because God made a breach. In fact, read the passage.
And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How
shall take time with that whole brother, take time with it. Don't rough it up. Start again.
And David was afraid of God that day, saying,
How
shall I bring the ark of God home to me?
You see, the Almighty God, way back some 300 years before this, had told the Levites that whenever they transport the ark of the covenant, what was that, Brother Mitchell? It was a little thought, a tent-like thing with the different thing, the Ten Commandments. God had told the Israelites that when they move it from one place to the other, how it must be done. Are we all here? For a time, the ark was over in the territory of the Philistines. And David noticed that God, what a thing, God was blessing the Philistine because the ark was over there. David feels that's not right. The ark needs to be at the right place. And David was right. So he now comes to remove the ark because the ark represents God's presence among the Israelites. So he came to move it. But he did not transport it the way God said. Are we out there? That is dealing with the how. Brothers and sisters, a person said, "I am baptized." The person says, "I am baptized as an outward show of an inner grace."
Why are you baptized? As an outward show, as an inner grace. In other words, I was baptized to show that I have grace inside. The baptism is the outward show.
But my God, the Almighty God, nowhere in the 66 books of the Bible attaches that reason to baptism. Amen. Nowhere!
Wait, we are dealing now with why we do what we do.
So when I go and get baptized for that reason,
you can be sure as you sit here that that is not acceptable to God.
What is the point, Mr. Mitchell? That whatever we bring to God, give to God, do for God, it must be in keeping with God's what, God's how, and God's why.
Wait. I find 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 13 also interesting. I find that interesting relative to this business of God's what, God's how, and God's why. Let us have it.
"For because ye did it not at the first."
Wait. You know who is speaking there? David. Wait. They are about to move the ark again. But this time they're going to make sure they have it done right. And David is reminding them that the Almighty God had just killed a man a few days or whatever ago. But notice what he said. It's very important, Christian, that we keep this in mind. Notice what he says.
"For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God..."
Wait, brother Webb. You
did it not at first. The Lord made
a breach upon us.
That is when God killed Uzziah. Watch it. You did it not. But they did it. That is, they attempted to move the ark. But they didn't do it right. And what this is implying, when you do not do it God's way, you do not do it at all.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anything we do, if it's not done God's way, it's not done at all.
Amen. Amen.
Read it.
For we sought him not after the due order.
Brother Webb, only when we do it according to God's due order, it is done.
Amen.
That's right. And God's due order means what God says, how God says, why God says. God's due. God has a due order. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? It just simply means to do the things the way God asks that it be done. Are we all here? Wait. Do you know that even worship, we are here to worship, huh? Did you know that even worshiping, as we now do, the Bible tells us how to do it? Look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 10, and I think it is from around verse 19, I think. Hebrews chapter 10, from around verse 19.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Christian. I think it was Brother Dave Fisher in his prayer. Give God thanks for the privilege of prayer. Are we all there? It's one of the greatest privileges that Christians have, to be able to go to God through Jesus Christ. Because of our frailty, sinfulness, even for those of us who are saved, on our own, we could not approach God, but through Jesus Christ. Watch here now. The Bible is speaking about not just prayer, but worship in general here. Read again, brother.
Having therefore,
brethren,
boldness to enter into the holiest.
That is, may I? We do not have to be shy, timid when we approach God as Christian. Wait. Let me drop a little thing back. Prayer is for the people of God. I pointed out here time and again that prayer is a relationship thing. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? Only men and women who have a relationship with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ can approach God in prayer. Amen. That is taught from Genesis to Revelation. You want me to give you one passage? Now we know that God heareth not sinner. But if any man be a worshipper of God and practice his will, him he heareth. St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Should I also go to Peter that the ears of God is turned away from those who do evil? Shall I also go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1? In fact, dear worthy brother, prayer is for God's people. We have boldness to enter where?
Into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus.
To enter where?
into the holiest.
That is the holy of holies. By the blood of Jesus Christ. That tells you a lot, you know. Only those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ have that boldness. Amen. That's why I not leave out the blood. And we get the blood when you are properly taught and you are properly baptized. That's how we get under the influence of the blood.
Amen.
Boldness to enter
into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Read on.
By a new and living way,
mm-hmm.
which He has consecrated for us,
mm-hmm.
through the veil,
mm-hmm.
that is to say, His flesh.
Read on.
And having high priest.
Wait, watch here now. And having. Wait. Mr. Mitchell, why did we come to this passage? You have forgotten? Come to this passage to show you that even in approaching God in worship, the Bible tells us how. Yes, where you have just left off, start there so again.
Which He hath consecrated for us,
mm-hmm.
through the veil,
mm-hmm.
that is to say, His flesh.
Read.
And having an high priest.
Having an high priest.
Over the house of God.
Jonathan, did you know that the house of God is the church of Christ?
Amen.
You are reading Hebrew. And the same book of Hebrew tell us that we are God's house. Over the house of God. Read on.
Let us draw near.
Now, let us draw near. That's talk about worship. In worship, we draw near to God. This is not the only passage that tells us. I can run you around to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3. That tells us that in worship, we draw near to God. So here the passage is appealing to Christians. To in worship, let us draw near
with a true heart.
Jonathan, that is telling us how.
Amen.
You see? But there are some more how there. With a true heart.
In full assurance of faith.
That is telling us all. We must come with faith.
Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience.
We must have a free heart. That's telling us how to come. Read on.
And our bodies washed with pure water.
What is that, Mr. Mitchell? Water? Must I drink water before I come in worship? No, that's talk about baptism.
Amen.
You can't worship if you have not been born in God's family. Having our bodies washed with pure water.
Let us hold fast.
Let us hold tightly.
The profession of
here
our faith.
Here this passage is telling us that in worship how to come to God. How to approach God. Oh Lord, so much to do on that subject. Let us get to the sermon now, no? Bring your sacrifices. Huh? You remember that's what we are looking at? And remember that I told that sacrifice offered to God must cost us something. Our sacrifice to God must not be the leftover. Huh? There are one more point here, and even if I didn't get to touch some other aspect of the lesson today, it's important. Whatever we do, we point out that whatever we give, bring, or do for God, we must make sure that what God asks for is what we are giving. How it is to be offered or done, we comply. Why we are doing it must concur with God's reason. We have looked at that. But what we must keep in mind that whenever we bring, give, bring, or do anything for God, God watches. God has keen interest in what we do, how we do it, and why we do it.
A passage that I find interesting always is a passage in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. You have Ezekiel, Daniel, Uzziah, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Haggai, somewhere like that. So after you pass Ezekiel and Daniel, you still go around more to your right hand side. That's right. Haggai, chapter 1. Find it interesting what it reveals to us. Let us look at it. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts.
The word thus means this is what God says.
Saying, these people say, the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built.
Notice what is under consideration here. Time. Very important. Time is a precious thing, huh? Time. Have you noticed how we have time to do all our businesses? You don't notice that. But usually when we are to be a church at the right time, be a church regularly to worship God, we come up with all sorts of excuses. Eh? It ever dawned on you that the Almighty God watches how you shall change Him? This passage is on that. Start again at verse 2, brother.
Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts.
This is what the God of hosts said.
Saying,
These
people say, the time is not come.
This people, you know, the Israelites. The time has not come.
The time that the Lord's house should be built.
Watch it. You know, I'm always fascinated over the things that the great God look on. The time has not come that the Lord's house
should be built.
Should be built. Wait. The place where the Israelites used to meet to worship God, that represents God's meeting place with His people, the Israelites, it lay in ruin at that time. Because the Israelites, each time somebody point out, look on the temple, look how it mashed down to nothing. The Israelite leaders and whatever would say, we just don't have the time to undertake that now. Watch here now. What verse is, you're at verse 2?
Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai.
Just step down to verse 4, brother.
Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?
Wait. You see what I see? Their sealed houses are now brought into the picture. And what God is implying, are we all there? They have time to build their houses. But no time to build God's house. Look at the many things for yourself that you run about each day, each week. Wait. The time that you use to run about is God's time. The strength that you have to do your business is God who gives it to you. But it's only when we are to worship God, do something for God, that we find so much excuses. Is that right? In fact, you're at verse 4, brother.
Yes.
Read verse 4 again.
Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?
God, watch their house.
God know that it's sealed. That means it have all the finishing. Eh? God say it's time for you to dwell in your sealed house. Implying that they had time to see that everything in their house is done right. Huh? Huh? Read them.
And this house lie to waste.
And God's house lie in waste. Read on, brother.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Uh-huh.
Consider your ways.
Wait. We have to consider our ways too. That's right. We are always coming up with excuse to shortchange God. Huh? There's so much crime, you know, that's why I'm in a come church at night. But when you have your business to do, you do it morning, noon, and night. Huh? God is watching.
Yeah.
The Israelites didn't know until God sent Haggai to them that he watches how much of their time they use for their business. But when it comes to God's business, they come up with excuses. Read on a little more. God says, God is about to tell them, I'm going to frustrate you. That's right. I'm going to frustrate you because of your ingratitude. Read on, the brother.
Ye have sown much.
You have sown much.
And bring in little.
Bring in little. Wait. He's here now. God is telling them, I'm going to frustrate you. You're using all your time and strength and effort to do your own business, not realizing that the strength and the time belong to God. Come up with all the excuses to shortchange God. God says, I'm going to frustrate you. You have sown much.
And bring in little.
You bring in only little bit.
You eat.
You eat and you are still hungry.
You drink.
You drink and you are still thirsty.
You clothe you.
And you are still naked.
And he that...
Wait, you know what I'm realizing, Jonathan? The Almighty God can really frustrate us. That's right. When we keep shortchanging him, when we are ungrateful people, when we do not give God what is his due. Wait, and still, you know, and bring your sacrifices. He's finished, Jonathan.
And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes.
I don't know what's happening to my money. It finished before me get it. A lot of time I gotta work on it. God say you earn wage, but I'm going to make you put it into a pocket with hole. Oh my God, if we could just learn to bring to God what God asks for. How he asks that it be given. And that we be genuine. Anything else, brother?
That was the end of 6.
Okay, you can stop there. And you know what, Jonathan? In fact, look at anyway. We're about to close, and there's a lot to be said. I need to make a few statements and close. Bring your sacrifices. It is rightly said that there can be no service to God without making or bringing a sacrifice. I will repeat, there can be no service to the Almighty God without making or bringing a sacrifice. And there are just one or two passages that I just want to throw out as we wrap up. Sometimes the sacrifices we are asked to give might be our ships and our nets. I'm speaking metaphorically in figures of speech. Run to Mark 1:20. Matthew 19. Quick, brother.
And straightway he called them.
Wait, I've just said that a lot of times the sacrifice we are asked by God to give might be, speaking metaphorically, in figure speech, might be our ships or our nets. Watch here. Read.
And straightway he called them.
Mm-hmm.
And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him.
Here they were called by Jesus Christ. Am I right? The Bible tells us that they left their father
in the ship.
That means they left the ship too.
With the hired servants.
With the hired servants.
And went after him.
And went with Jesus Christ. There are other times we are called upon to leave our houses, our land, our mother, our father, Matthew 19:29.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses,
mm-hmm.
or brethren,
mm-hmm.
or sisters,
mm-hmm.
or father,
mm-hmm.
or mother,
mm-hmm.
or wife,
mm-hmm.
or children,
mm-hmm.
or land,
uh-huh.
for my name's sake.
You hear that? Hear Jesus Christ list some things that sometimes the demands of the cross, we are called upon to make a choice. Jesus Christ lists here some of the most profound things in our lives. Our mother, our father, husband, wife, if they stand between us and Jesus Christ, then we must choose Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, in most cases, we are not called upon to abandon these in order to come to Jesus Christ. I want also to point out, among the first things that we are called upon to bring as sacrifice relates to the passage that was read today, Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What it says?
I beseech you, therefore.
I beg you, brethren.
By the mercies of God.
And I'm begging by the mercies of Jesus Christ.
That ye present your bodies.
That you present your
bodies.
Bodies.
A living sacrifice.
Brother Jonathan, the sacrifices of the Old Testament was dead sacrifices.
Right.
The sheep and the oxen, that is the cows that were offered, they were all dead. They had to be slaughtered.
Right.
Like they, we must consecrate, present ourselves to Jesus Christ. But you know what? He doesn't want us dead, except being dead to sin. He wants us alive. Oh, let us address more of that when we come back or another time. Right now, I can say you have learned much about what it means to bring your sacrifice to Jesus Christ. You have learned that whatever we bring to Jesus Christ, it must cost us. And the cost there does not necessarily mean money. It may involve our time, our strength, our talent, our influence. But it must cost us. It cannot be our leftovers.
It must be that which is precious to us. Only as it is precious to us is it precious to God. And we must take into consideration what God asks for, how He asks that it be brought, and why He asks that it be brought. Do you know, members of the Lord's church, this is why you find we talk about the subject of baptism, the mode of baptism, the action of baptism, and all of this. All of those are fixed by God. When somebody take a little water and sprinkle on your head and call it baptism, they are showing that they have no respect for the word of God. The Bible makes it plain, not one or two places, many places, that God's baptism is a burial. But the Bible also makes it plain that you and I might be buried under water a dozen times, and in the sight of God we are still not baptized. If the teaching we get leading up to baptism was contrary to God's word. Let us get it right now. By the grace and by the mercy and the help of God, let us get it right. You know why? We have no excuse. You know why? We have the gospel of Christ. Today you can become a child of God by believing the truth, by repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and by getting baptized for the removal of your sin. In love, in mercy, in grace, Jesus Christ is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Bring your sacrifice, but the first sacrifice you bring must be yourself. That's right. Oh, I wish I had time to show you that Jesus Christ doesn't want what you have until you give Him yourself. Oh, Lord, I feel like I could preach a sermon just on that right now. You must first give Jesus Christ yourself before He will accept what is yours. Let us stand as we sing, and as you step forward to give your life to Jesus Christ.